particular session, the title of it, It's Yours to Lose and It's Yours to Recover. The title actually came last week while we were watching the Olympics, and I want to tell you more about that. But before we go on, let's bow together in prayer. Our Father in Heaven, I thank You that You have given us great promises and great privileges that are ours as Your sons. And I pray that You will encourage us during this time with the great things You've accomplished through Jesus Christ, and that You're a Redeemer. Now, Lord, I pray You'd open our ears to hear and our eyes to see how we may recover those things that we've lost, where we didn't understand and perhaps have ignored our callings and the responsibilities of them. That, Lord, You will grant us grace to see how we can recover those things and experience the fullness of what You have for us in our callings in life. We might rise to the call of God at this time in our lives. I trust You for that, Father. I ask You to anoint me as I speak and our ears as we hear and listen. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Recently, some friends of mine and I were watching the Winter Olympics, and as you know, they have a number of events, and one event was, I think it was the, I don't know if it was the giant slalom or what. Mark, do you remember what it was? Was it giant slalom? Is that what it was? The giant slalom, and they'd had the first run, you know, and after the first run, they're going to do a second one, but this one guy came out on top, and somebody made the remark, well, it's his to lose. And by that they meant he had performed so well in the first one that if he just did a, just finished the course and ran well, it was his, you know, he was going to win it. The only way he could not win it was if he lost it, and it was his to lose. He was just going to give it up. He was going to forfeit it in some way by making a mistake. Then there were some other events where we talked about, well, it's his to win. He could win it. And this is like the guy that's maybe in third or fourth, we might say, about his position after that first run. Well, if he's going to win this, he's going to get a medal, it's his to win. He's going to have to really put it out to get this one. So we got to joking back and forth. Okay, is it his to lose or is it his to win? Which is it? We were discussing which it was. That particular evening, I was to be sharing with that group. And actually, we'd talked about rising to the call the first few evenings. And that particular evening, I wasn't sure just where I was going to go with it. And I thought, oh man, in about another hour, I need to lead them in discussion here. And I have no idea where you want to go with this. So I thought, I better go down and pray. So I went down and I asked, just very simply, and I said, Lord, what is it that You want to share here? And the first thing I heard was, it's Yours to lose. I remember thinking, I've been so impacted by the Olympics. I can't even think straight. Here I am, I'm still thinking about the Olympics. What's this all about? But then I thought, no, I asked the Lord, and I wonder what this is. And so I asked Him again, Lord, what do You mean it's Yours to lose? And then He started showing me about what this had to do with everything we've been talking about, rising to the call. You see, what we've said about the call is this, that it's an irrevocable act of God, where God establishes a relationship, a special relationship, that with that relationship come responsibilities and privileges and promises that provide hope for the future. We talked about the different callings in life, that we're our first calling by God, which is an irrevocable calling, is our birth. We're born to our parents, and that's a calling. That's a special relationship established. There are responsibilities given in God's Word, as well as privileges that come by that calling from our parents, from God, through our parents to us, that are to provide hope for the future. Then from there, we talked about our calling as sons of God, that when God calls us, it's an act of God also, where it's an irrevocable act of God. He calls us forth, gives us new birth. We become His sons. It establishes a special relationship. There are responsibilities, privileges, and promises that come with that that provide hope for the future. Then we talked about the next calling in life, that of probably being a husband, where, again, an irrevocable act of God. God says what He has joined together, let no man separate. The two are joined. He calls them to that calling. There's a responsibility. It's a special relationship with responsibilities, privileges, and promises that provide hope for the future. And then as a father, when our wives give birth to the children, we become fathers. Again, an irrevocable act of God where that established a special relationship. And I thought, but those, it's an irrevocable calling. What do you mean it's yours to lose? And then it was like the Lord clarified it and he said, you know, just like that skier, after his first run, he established a position. And that was his position. He was in the first place. It was his to lose. God has established you in a position, a special relationship with Him, or a special relationship to your fathers, a special relationship to your wife and to your children. You can't lose that. So I thought, no, I can't think of any examples there in the Scriptures where those things can be lost, where God takes them away or He changes them. It's ours to lose. It's yours to lose. You can lose the privileges. You can't lose the calling. The calling is established. But you can lose the privileges. You can lose the blessings. You can lose the hope that comes from your calling if you don't know your calling. If you ignore your calling, it's yours to lose. If you don't fulfill your responsibilities, you lose the privileges. It's yours to lose. God doesn't take them from you. And I started thinking through that and thinking, you know what? That's really true. I can't change the calling. It's an irrevocable call. I'm a son of God, but let's face it, guys, aren't there times when we've forfeited some of the blessings? Didn't change the calling, but we lost some of the blessings. They were ours to lose. What if you think about when you were first married? Remember the honeymoon? Remember those first days? Boy, I mean, the marriage, when it starts off, you have the privileges, you have promises, you're excited about the future, but it's yours to lose the privileges, the promises, the hope. The future doesn't change the calling, but yeah, you can lose them. You can lose their trust, can't you? It's yours to lose. It was established to begin with, part of the calling, but then it's yours to lose. And the more I thought about that, the more I thought, oh, this is probably true. You know, I wonder what the Bible says about this. So I started immediately thinking, Lord, who's an example of this? And one came to my mind especially, and it was Esau. I want us to continue thinking about this, losing the privileges and our hope. Think about, as sons of our fathers, how many responsibilities regarding your father, regarding your calling, did you neglect? And did you lose some privileges because of that? Did you lose some of the blessings that perhaps God could have provided through your parents, but because you didn't understand your callings or the responsibilities, you didn't experience them. You lost them. They were yours to lose. Esau is a good example of this. Turn with me to Hebrews, if you would, and we'll take a look at Hebrews chapter 12. Esau was the first that came to my mind. We want to look at what the writer of Hebrews had to say about Esau. And as we do, you'll notice this theme. What's been the theme that runs through all the callings? What pervades all callings? Holiness. Watch the relationship of holiness in this whole thing. You'll notice that when we discuss the rising to the call of holiness, that the holiness principle is what pervades all the callings. Now, we're to pursue holiness. Look in chapter 12, beginning in verse 14. Pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. Anytime you read sanctification and you're to think holiness, it's the very same word, hagios. This is holiness. He says you're to pursue peace with all men and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Well, as we pursue holiness with the Lord, we're going to see how this is applied to these other relationships we have in our callings. Notice what he says. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, and that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. That there be no immoral or godless person like Esau, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. For you know that even afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place for repentance, though he sought for it with tears. Well, when you consider these verses, you'll notice that the issue with Esau was his birthright. Now, where did he get the birthright? Well, that was his calling. If you recall, he was the firstborn. Esau was born first, so therefore the birthright was his. He was called. The calling was the same, but could he lose the birthright? He did lose the birthright. It was his to lose. He actually sold it, we're told here. We think back in this story about Esau. If you remember, came back after a hunting trip and he was hungry, and his brother, Jacob, had a stew there, and he sold his birthright for that stew, for that temporary lust right then. He wanted something right then, and he gave it up. It was his to lose. And I thought of that, this particular illustration. Here he was in the position of blessing and privilege that provided hope for his future. Can you see that in his relationship that was established with his father? No one took it away from him. He gave it away. He sold it. He lost it. He traded it for the temporal gratification of just of lust, actually. In other words, he despised his calling, didn't he? He despised his privileges. He despised the birthright, and therefore he lost it. You also notice that in these verses that the Holy Spirit says that when we lose the privileges due to failure to faithfully discharge our responsibilities, which also comes from lust, he says we fall short of grace. Notice what he says there in verse 15. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God. You know, that's part of the privileges, the grace of God. He's not talking about here salvation, saving grace. He's talking about grace to love, grace to persevere, grace to do what God commands us to do. To rise to our callings takes grace, the grace of God to do that. He says we're not to come short of the grace of God. Well, the context of this chapter would indicate that the grace here that he's talking about is grace to fulfill our responsibilities of our callings. There are two reasons given why people fall short of grace. Or to put it another way, two ways people lose their privileges and hope for their callings. The first one you'll notice here in verse 15, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble. How easy it is to blame someone else and think that will release us from our responsibility. Have you ever felt guilty for maybe doing something wrong, and the next thing you know, you're blaming somebody else for it? You're giving excuses, or you're saying, oh, you know, if you hadn't have done that, I wouldn't have done this. You ever use that one, the blame game? And bitterness perhaps springing up here, and it always defiles many. It doesn't just defile one. There's going to be many people that will suffer. But consider how this happened with Esau. Esau, we're told, couldn't find a place for repentance. And I think there implied there is this. He always blamed Jacob. Jacob was the trickster. And he was. I mean, he was a deceiver. I mean, we read about Jacob, and he was everything probably that Esau could blame Jacob for. But that wasn't the problem. The problem with Esau wasn't Jacob. The problem with Esau was Esau. It was his to lose. It wasn't Jacob's to take it. Jacob couldn't take it. It was actually given to him. And that's the whole point. What I'm saying is, it's yours to lose. The privileges that you have to your callings. The privileges as sons of your fathers. The privileges and the blessings and the hope that were to be yours. Many of them, we've lost them. Because of one reason or another. Because we didn't know about our callings. Because our fathers didn't teach us because they didn't know. And we dishonored our fathers. Perhaps we did not live for His name. And so therefore, later on when we became Christians, we didn't know to live for the name of God and to live for the name of our wives. We talked about that. And to live for the names of our children. To realize that in life, in your callings, you're living for someone else other than yourself. Or we didn't know to treat our fathers as holy, and our God as holy, and our wives as holy, and our children as holy, because, again, we didn't know that responsibility, and so we gave up the blessings. We lost the blessings. What a different life we would have, wouldn't you agree, if we'd understood these things before, you know, when we were children, and our parents had taught us, and we had actually practiced holiness, and practiced honor, and practiced obedience, and practiced submission. All that, the responsibilities in each of our calling. How much easier it'd be now, wouldn't it? How did we lose it? Well, the point is, we did lose it. It was ours to lose. It was yours to lose. God didn't take it from you. And that was the same case here with Esau. Now, Jacob had an answer to God for Jacob had to answer to God for what he did, his deception. But the problem with Esau, he couldn't find a place where he had lost it. Therefore, he came short of grace. He had no grace because of what he did, because of his bitterness, because of his lust. And that shows us the other reason, lustful desire. Notice what he says, and that there be no immoral or godless person like Esau, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. How many times do you think in your childhood or in your teen years, how many times do you think you forfeited your privileges or your blessings and the hope because you wanted certain things your way in your time? Just think back on that for a moment. Instead of waiting and being faithful to your calling, how much do you think you lost when you demanded your own way? When you dishonored your parents, or when you dishonored God, perhaps, because you didn't think about His ways and understand your calling. Maybe when you ignored God's word or the responsibilities that were yours as a son. Think about what you perhaps lost. Innocence? That was yours to lose. How about right standing with your fathers? Yours to lose. A clear conscience before your fathers and with your parents. Yours to lose. Clear conscience with God. Yours to lose. See, a clear conscience is a blessing, isn't it? I mean, it's a blessing from God. It comes with our calling. What's the basis for our clear conscience? It's the blood of Jesus Christ. It's what He's done for us on the cross. It's the resurrection, conquering sin and death, and being able to... He's destroyed all the works of the evil one. He established such a relationship with us that that's our standing. But a clear conscience is ours to lose, is it not? We can think of probably many other illustrations. And usually when we lose that clear conscience, isn't it just because of a lustful desire? We want something right now, and we want what we want, and we're going to do it now. And that's what happened with Esau. Instead of waiting on the Father, waiting on God to fulfill the calling and the promises, he wanted what he wanted right then. It was actually, he actually gave it up. Well, how about since your spiritual new birth? How often have you squandered your privileges of peace with God? You know, peace with God is a privilege, isn't it? Given to us because of our calling. You ever lost your peace? Did God take it away from you? No. It was yours to lose. God's given us everything that we need to have peace with God through Christ. How about a joyful heart? Have you lost that? That's one of the blessings and privileges of being a son of God. Amen? We're loved by Him. Heart that there's no fear. There should be no fear. Have you lost that? Those are just a few of the privileges, just to mention some. And since you've been married, have you lost the blessing and privilege of your wife's trust? Perhaps the conjugal rights because of not fulfilling your responsibilities as a husband. The privilege of her heart, her affection, her comfort. Perhaps those have been forfeited due to bitterness over her failure to fulfill her responsibilities. Or perhaps you haven't fulfilled your responsibilities and she's gotten bitter at you, and so therefore there's not the privileges that are there. Or have those things been lost because of your lust for another woman? Or pornography, or selfish pleasures, or worldly desires. I mean, we could go on and on. But the whole point is this. Those privileges and that hope that could be there were yours to lose. And so, from the time you were born, or the time you trusted in Christ, or the time you said, I do, to your wives, or the time that your children were born to you, there were privileges and hopes that were yours, that came with your calling. And perhaps, just like I have, there have been a number of them as you think back on it, and as we've gone through this series, it struck you. Boy, I've lost a lot. What I could have had, if I'd just known this. If I'd known these things back when I was 10, 11, and 12, oh, what I forfeited because I didn't know. Oh, what I've lost. The fact is, all of us have suffered loss. I doubt if there's a man in this room or any person that's listening to this tape, whether it's a young man or an older man, maybe even a daughter, a young lady, or a wife that's not lost and suffered loss in their callings because they didn't understand their callings. They didn't understand their responsibilities and their privileges. Well, we ought to be convicted. You know, sometimes we just need to consider that. We need to be convicted about our loss. We need to regret our failures and our ignorance. God's Word, though, has some really good news. You know, you can't really enjoy the good news till you know the bad news. Have you ever heard that? You know, that's how the gospel is. How can you really appreciate the good news of what God has done in Christ if you haven't first really experienced the bad news? Then the good news is really good news. Well, I've got good news for you along this line. Not only were the privileges and hope yours to lose, but this is the next part that came to me that night as we talked about the Olympics. Now, we said it this way, it's his to win. The more I thought about it, I thought, well, that really doesn't communicate what's really in the Scriptures there, because it's not about winning. It's more about recovering for us. And I would like to say, it's yours to lose, but I want to add this to it. It's yours to recover because of what God has done in Jesus Christ, because you're sons of God. Notice in this passage in Hebrews 12, look down in verse 17. It says, "For you know that even afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought for it with tears." You see, the fact is, Esau desperately wanted the blessing. And then you may think about some things in your past, your relationship with your parents, with your father. How is your relationship with your father? How is your relationship with your mother? Is it good? Is it glorify the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you lost something there? If you consider that, like with Esau here, he had lost something from in his relationship with his father, and he could have recovered it. I really believe that here where we see him, if he had found a place to repent, I believe he could have inherited the blessings. He could have recovered the blessings. But he couldn't find a place to repent. And I think this says to us and encourages us in this way, that there is a way to recover things that we've lost. And we see that in the Scriptures. We're told that Esau couldn't find a place to repent, therefore, though he desired the blessing, he couldn't recover it. But let's consider our calling as sons of God. Would you for a moment? What's one of the privileges and promises that provides great hope for our future that could apply at this point? How about repentance and forgiveness? I think most of us, I think, are familiar with 1 John 1:9, where it talks about our being forgiven if we will confess our sins. He's faithful to forgive us our sins. That's a promise. It's only for the sons of God. It's one of the privileges, isn't it? Because of our callings as sons, we know that Jesus Christ is a redeemer. And as a redeemer, he has done everything that needs to be done for us to recover what we've lost. And that's an exciting thought. I hope it is to your heart as much as it is to mine. He takes what has been defiled and squandered, and he redeems it. Follow with me some of these scriptures. I want to read some to you and just let your heart embrace these and let them minister to you, because these are the privileges and promises given to us by God as sons of God. He gives these to us, like Job 19:25. Job says, "And as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will take his stand on the earth." Do you know that your Redeemer, Jesus Christ, lives? Are you convinced of that? If you're a son of the living God, and you've trusted in Christ, then you know this about the heart of God. He's a Redeemer. We read in Psalm 19:14, the psalmist says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." The one who redeems me from the pit. He's the one that takes us out and takes what's been bad, takes the things we've lost, and He restores. He's the restorer. He's the redeemer. Psalm 78, verse 35. Speaking about Israel, it says, "And they remembered that God was their rock, and the Most High God their Redeemer." Isn't that great? You think about the things we've lost in our callings, the privileges we've lost, the things we forfeited. Remember, here's the good news. God's a Redeemer. He's our Redeemer. Isaiah 44:24. "Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, and the one who formed you from the womb." Now you remember your first calling is you're being called out from the womb. "I, the Lord, am the maker of all things, stretching out the heavens by myself and spreading out the earth all alone." And then in chapter 47, verse 4, it says, "Our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is His name, the Holy One of Israel." In Isaiah 48, verse 17, "Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way you should go." Now, that word there, teaches you to profit. I started, even as I thought about that, the whole idea there, oh, okay. He teaches me how to win. He teaches me how to recover. He teaches me how to take the things that were lost and how to turn them into profit. How can we take our mistakes and turn them into profit, men? By confession, by noticing what we did wrong in the past and just confessing them and going to God our Redeemer and saying, "Lord, redeem this. Show me how to now repent of doing this. Let me find that place to repent and begin to change the direction that I'm going and how I respond in my callings in life. Help me to see what are the responsibilities of this calling and how to now walk it out. Be my Redeemer." Isaiah 54:8. "In an outburst of anger," this is God speaking, "in an outburst of anger I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting loving kindness I will have compassion on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer." Ooh, I like that. You see, it could be that we've experienced years of our lives where for a moment, that's how it would be to the Lord. For us, it's years. But for Him, for a moment, He says, "I hid my face." Can you remember those moments where that's what you felt? That maybe He hid His face. Special relationship was broken. Privileges and hope may be gone because of choices that you made, things that you did that where you lost it. And here He says, "But with everlasting loving kindness, I will have compassion on you. The Lord your Redeemer." Isaiah 59:20, "And the Redeemer will come to Zion." And of course, Zion there is referring to the church, His people, His sons, "and to those who turn from transgression in Jacob, declares the Lord." And notice, those who turn from transgression. That's who He's going to return to. And then it says in Isaiah 63:16, "For thou art our Father." This is the cry of the church. "Thou art our Father. Though Abraham does not know us and Israel does not recognize us, Thou, O Lord, art our Father, our Redeemer from of old is Thy name." This is the cry of the Gentile. Remember the promises? Primarily the promises and the privileges were to who? The Jews, to Israel. They were the ones that had the hope and the privileges. Did they lose them? Yes, they did. They were theirs to lose. And they lost them. And now this is Gentiles. Notice where He says here, "Thou art our Father, though Abraham does not know us." We're not Jewish. We're not Israel in that sense. "And Israel does not recognize us. Thou, O Lord, art our Father, our Redeemer from of old is Thy name." Well, as sons of God, we have the blessing of forgiveness. If we will take up the responsibility of finding the places of repentance. Again, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, here's the promise, He is faithful. Why is He faithful? Because that's His calling. Right? Father, that's His calling. That's the responsibility of His calling. It's to be faithful to His sons. He says, "He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Any amens on that one? Think about the things that you've lost. Think about, as we've gone through this series, you may think, man, time after time, maybe there's been conviction where Lord has spoken to your heart and you thought, oh man, I wish I'd known that. If I'd only known, I've done so many things wrong. I wish I could correct that. I got good news for you. Yes, it was yours to lose, but it's yours to recover. Because God is a Redeemer. And we're His sons. And it's part of the privileges and the promises that are ours as His children. Let's consider the responsibilities mentioned in God's Word for the sons of our fathers. For instance, if you think about how we're going to find repentance, find the place of repentance. If you consider how you were as a son to your father, consider the responsibilities as a son of your father. And as the Lord brings back to your mind those things where you did not fulfill those responsibilities that we spoke of in the rising to the call as sons, when you think of them, there'll be events that will come to your mind. There will be times where you know maybe you shouted at your father and you maybe you cursed him, or maybe you shook your fist at him, or you said no and you ran out of the house, or in some way you shamed him. Maybe you went out, maybe because you're angry at your dad, you went out and did something that you knew was going to hurt him on purpose. The Lord brings that event back to mind. When He brings that event back to mind, there it is, a place to repent. Confess that before the Lord. It's yours to recover. Yeah, it was yours to lose, but now it's yours to recover. It's yours to take it and say, Father, I was wrong. I did that wrong. And then second, ask and seek and knock. If you know those verses in Matthew chapter 7, there's a wonderful promise by the Lord Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount that's recorded there. You'll notice a similarity in verses 1 and 12 in chapter 7. If you'll turn there to Matthew chapter 7, you'll see a line of reason is established there in the sermon. And look at verse 1. We'll read 1, 2, and 3, and then verse 12. And notice how they go together. In verse 1, he says, "Do not judge lest you be judged, for in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. And why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye?" Jump down to verse 12. "Therefore, however you want people to treat you, so treat them. For this is the law and the prophets." Notice how he's just saying in verse 12, basically the same thing he's saying in verses 1 and 2. Verse 1, "Do not judge lest you be judged, for in the way you judge, you will be judged." In other words, treat other people the way you want to be treated. My point here in this is from verse 1 through 12, he has a line of reason going here. He's got the same thing in mind. And then you get down to, let's continue on in these verses, and you'll notice what Jesus says continuing in verse 4. "Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye'? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." And before we read on here, if you could see the log clearly in your eye, would you be trying to help your brother get the speck out? So what I'd like to suggest is what he knows is that it's real easy for us to find out where other people need to repent. Isn't that true? You can find their places to repent real quick. Just consider, oh, you know what, boy, I could really lead my wife really well in how to recover hers. Or I could lead my dad. Boy, can I tell you, if I could just sit down with my dad, I could show him all kinds of places to repent where he could recover some good things. And I'm sure our wives could say the very same thing. But you notice what he's saying here. He says, if we've got a log in our eye, which is pretty obvious we don't see the log, then we need help, don't we? We need help to see the log. We need help to find that place to repent. And notice what he goes on to say. "Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces." You want to keep that verse in the line of reason here. What he's saying is talking about judgment. Don't step out and start trying to judge your brother and you're going to be casting pearls before swine. Your pearls, which of course, isn't that how we see our own viewpoint of somebody else? Don't we think, boy, have I got it for you. I've got something of great value to you. If you would just repent of this, you would be great. Well, that's a pearl to us. But it's not a pearl to them. It will not be a pearl to them. So then he continues and he now deals with the log. How are you going to find the log that's in your eye? How are you going to find the place to repent before you can go help another brother repent? Here's how. Ask, and it shall be given to you. This verse is not a verse that you can just go say, God, I want to ask you for something, and God's going to give it to you. The context of this is finding a place to repent. The whole context of this is finding that log that you can't see or that you didn't see before that now you need to see. Ask and keep on asking is the idea here in this verb. And it shall be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you shall find. Knock, keep on knocking, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks and keeps on asking is the idea, receives. And he who seeks and keeps on seeking, finds. And to him who knocks and keeps on knocking, it shall be opened. What we can know is, because we are sons of God, that God is going to give us that place to repent. If you would just keep asking, seeking, and knocking. Just keep asking the Lord to show you. Ask Him, Lord, where do I need to repent? Where's a place of repentance as a son to my father in that relationship? Where can I recover what I lost? Where can I recover what I've lost with my wife? Look at your relationship with your wife and your calling with her and look and see the things that have been lost there. And ask the Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, where can I find a place to repent for that which I lost? How can I recover it? And the Lord will show you probably that there's some attitudes that you had in previous callings, maybe previous relationships with girls that you brought in those same attitudes and actions into your relationship and marriage. And sure enough, you lost something. And it can be recovered through repentance on just that point. Places of repentance back in perhaps your dating years where you set up practices and relationships to other girls that you brought into your marriage that have damaged your marriage. And you can find those places to repent. Ask, seek, knock. The Lord will show you. Why? Because it's the privilege and promises of a father. Look at these next verses. He says, or what man is there among you when his son shall ask him for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he shall ask for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? And if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? Isn't that great? You know what I think, if we think about the context of this, what he's saying is this. As sons of God, with a father such as this, if we were to come to Him and say, Father, would You please show me the log in my eye? Would You please show me where I need to repent in this area or in this relationship? Or shall we put it in this way, in this calling in my life? Don't you think He'll give it to you? That's a good thing for Him to give you. Why, He's already died for it. He's shed the blood of His own Son for it. He can be glorified in it. Certainly He would tell you. Because when He tells you, and you repent, He's promised forgiveness. And when you do that, that makes Him a redeemer. That's what it is to be a redeemer. It's to take those things that have been squandered and ruined and lost and to redeem us and bring us forth into fruitfulness. And so we have that promise. And so Jesus has promised that the Father will answer your requests for insight into your log that's in your eye or insight into where you need to repent, places of repentance. Those signal events that have hardened your heart, perhaps, or where you disobeyed your parents or disobeyed God, where you've squandered privileges Perhaps you misused teaching that was given to you and despised it. Maybe you despised their training. You can remember events such as that. Or maybe you weren't a good steward with what was provided to you by your parents or by God. Or maybe what your wife entrusted you with. Maybe she entrusted her heart to you and you've hurt it. You've damaged it. And God's a redeemer. And you can recover it. So the first thing I've mentioned to you, if you're going to recover, I mentioned that you need to consider your responsibilities that are in God's Word as sons of your fathers. And the second thing I mentioned, and all your other callings. Second thing I mentioned was to ask, seek, and knock. Find that place of repentance. The third thing I want to mention here is this. Go first to the Lord with thanksgiving for the blessings of repentance through Jesus' death and resurrection. Jesus came to destroy all the works of the devil. Go to Him with thanksgiving. Thank Him for those privileges. Thank Him for the promises. Confess that it was yours to lose, but it's also yours to recover through what He's done in Jesus Christ. And then the fourth thing I'd like to suggest is this. See, what you've done in the third thing is you've gone to the Lord, you've worked out that relationship with the Lord. Now the fourth thing is this. If your father and mother are still living and you can go to them, settle it with them. Find a place to repent with them. Confess that you didn't realize your calling to them, that God is now teaching you about it, and as well as other callings in life, and you're seeking to recover what was lost. Do you think they would despise you for that? If you came to them and said, you know, I'm trying to recover what I lost, what I gave away, and I need to ask your forgiveness for this. I need to settle this account with you. I didn't honor you, or I didn't do this. Can you imagine them going, what's wrong with you? Or despising that? I don't think so. I think God will be honored in that. And when you've finished recovering what you lost in your first calling with your fathers and your mothers, then go to your next calling. Your relationship with maybe your wife. Your relationship with God, of course. We've already dealt with that. But your relationship with your children, perhaps. Go to each calling, but deal with one first. Find those places of repentance. Recover it through the grace and the glory that's in Jesus Christ because of the application of the gospel. Then go to the next calling. Don't rush through this. Let me recommend that. Don't rush through it. The grace of God will come as you find the place to repent. See, that's what the writer of Hebrews was saying. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God. The way you fall short of the grace of God is by not finding those places to repent. You find the places to repent, the grace of God floods in. Why? Because God's a Father, He's a Redeemer, and that's what He sent His Son for. And if you're a son of the living God, you have that hope. Now, if I'm talking to some of you, and at this point in time you've not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, then I can say to you, you don't have this hope. Because you don't know for sure of your calling. One point it says, one of the letters, it says, make your calling, your election, sure. Make it established. There's some of you, perhaps, you need to settle that one first. You need to settle it, that you're trusting in Christ. That your relationship with God is all based on a relationship with Jesus Christ. God calls you to Jesus Christ. He doesn't call you, He doesn't make any promises regarding anyone else except Jesus Christ. And I want to say that all the promises of God in Christ are yes, but there are no other promises through anybody else. No other prophets, there's no other men that... No other religions that could be the case. It's only been through Christ. And the reason we have a hope in that is because we have a living hope. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Do you know anybody else that God did that with? Anybody name somebody? Anybody else in history where God raised him from the dead? Just to say, here's where is the living hope. It's in this man. There's not anybody else. Muhammad, can't make that claim. You know, I know there's a lot of talk about the popularity of Islam. Their idea is that there are many ways to God. There's, one God, but many ways to God. There are not many ways to God. There's only one man through whom God has made any of these promises that provide us hope for the future, and it's Jesus Christ Himself. There's no chance of recovering anything that we've lost in our callings except through Jesus Christ. But there's hope there. And so, men and women, for that matter, the whole point of this message has been this. It's yours to lose, and it's yours to recover. Why should you do this? Well, because it's the responsibility of your calling. Hebrews 12:14, look at what it said there. Back there it said, pursue peace with all men and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Now, meditate on that carefully. Pursue peace with all men. Are there some men or women that you need to pursue peace with? What do you need to do to perfect holiness in your callings? It's your responsibility if you wish to see the Lord. I think you'll be amazed to find that as you go through this process, you will experience a greater freedom and grace in your present callings. Right now, how many callings do you have? Some of you are husbands. Some of you are fathers. You're sons of God. Some of you are grandfathers. Right there's four. You're all sons. That's five. Some of you could have as many as five callings right now in your life. Irrevocable acts of God that have established special relationships with responsibilities, privileges, and promises that provide hope for your future. Now, in those five callings, if you're to experience grace in them, you'll find that as you begin to bring forth repentance for where you lost it in previous callings, you're going to find grace to flood your life in your present callings. There is a promise implied in these verses if we pursue peace and if we pursue holiness. And that is, we won't come short of the grace of God. So, if we don't do this, I don't see any way that we can rise to the callings of God. The whole series is on rising to the callings of God in your life. How can you rise to those callings if you don't recover what you've lost? I don't think you can. The only way you're going to be able to rise to the callings of God is to take the gospel of God that's in Jesus Christ and apply it to your callings, apply it to your lives. Find those places of repentance by the Holy Spirit's grace and power. Make that application of the gospel before God and then work it out in those special relationships. If we don't work this out, then what we demonstrate is what we talked about in the message Ears to Hear. We don't have ears to hear. Because if you recall in that message, the ones that had ears to hear did something with it, right? The ones that heard with these ears but didn't hear with this ear didn't do anything with it. What is this whole series supposed to do with us? Just give us good ideas? Something we can go share with someone else? I'd like to suggest no. The whole purpose of this is to do something. It's to understand that you do have a calling, many callings by God that you need to rise to. And the way to rise to them is in the power and the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And that grace comes as we find those places to repent for the things we've lost that were ours to lose. And we go on a campaign or a mission to recover now, in our callings now, to recover what privileges and honors and blessings and hope are to be ours in our calling, according to God's Word. To listen to these messages and fail to take the time and the effort, and it will take time and effort to recover. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, I know as we talk about this, you think, yep, this is going to take a little bit of time. This is going to take some effort. It'll take me taking some quiet time, maybe with the Lord. It's going to take some effort to maybe some courage to recover what I've lost with my wife, or recover what I've lost with God, recover what I've lost with my father. But it's worth it. It'll put us in the position of that fourth hearer that brings forth fruit for the glory of God. Well, the important thing for us now is what we do with these tools. It's whether we actually apply them in our lives. So I want to encourage you at this point. You've heard an awful lot through this series. Now it's yours to lose. It's also yours to put into practice and to win, to gain, to profit from it. And the question is, will you keep losing privileges and will you keep losing the hope, or will you recover them? Will you put these things into practice? And I want to encourage you. Well, we need each other, don't we? We need to encourage one another. We need to be around other men that are rising to the callings of God in their lives. We need to encourage other men, just like we need to be encouraged. We need to pray for each other. I like to suggest we need to listen to these things over and over again until we do something with them. Like in that message, having ears to hear, what did Jesus say? He says, you take the seed, you take the Word of God that's light, you put it in the prominent place of your heart, and you let it shine there into every aspect of your life until the light shines in every room. Until you see how this is supposed to affect every area of my life. Or shall we put it this way? Every calling that I have in my life. And when the light then shines in all the rooms, now you're finally using the light for what it was meant to be used for. And you get the blessing of it. May God give us ears to hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Arise to the call. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I thank you for the great promises you've given to us of forgiveness, of recovery, of healing. I think of the psalm, blessed be the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who has healed all my diseases, who has delivered my life from the pit, who has crowned my life with loving kindness. Lord, you have blessed us tremendously as your sons. I pray, Father, that for all those that hear, you would give them ears to hear. That, Father, you would lead us by your grace and by your Spirit to rise to the call of God in our lives. Father, we need you. We need your grace. We need your wisdom. We need you to guide us. We need you to cleanse us. Lord, to make us to be the vessels that you want us to be. Lord, that you've called us to be. And then, Father, may the eyes of our hearts be open to see what is the hope of your calling us. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.